Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Millennial in the Middle. I'm Connor DeLynn. I've got a great episode for you today. I just finished recording an interview with Jenna Jarvis, and Jenna has a really interesting story, and I've followed her over the last year or so and been so impressed with this movement that she is leading. And for a little while now, I've said, you know, I want to learn more about what she's trying to do, what was the cause of this, and what got all this started, so I invited her on the show. To give you a little background, Jenna, at a very young age, was a victim of sexual abuse that she'll talk about here in this interview, and basically talks about how for 15 to 20 years of her life, that experience basically was kind of a dark cloud over a lot of her life, her mental health, her relationships, and she decided a little while back to open up about that and to be vulnerable, to be authentic, to be real. And as she did, she was pretty blown away by the reaction that that had, especially in social media, where so much of what we see is filtered and a little fake and our highlight reel of our life. She kind of looked at that and went the opposite approach and said, let's be real, and was open and honest about her trials, about her going through therapy and what that meant to her, and how she how she made a personal transformation. And in the process of doing that, she created the movement called Vulnerability is Cool. I love that. And I agree, by the way, vulnerability is cool. Let's make it cool. Let's make it in fashion. And she has now held some really incredible events focused on women who struggle with, who have had abuse or past trauma, that have mental health concerns, going to therapy, or just anyone that's trying to deal with the world that today that often is focused on perfectionism and perception and trying to just find our truest, most fulfilled, happy selves. And she'll talk about some of these events that she's had recently, and the group dynamic and feel that's come from that is pretty inspiring. I would love for you to be able to support her movement and what she's doing. They're looking for donors right now, corporate sponsors to be able to scale and kind of take this to the next level. And she has some really cool things in the works. The easiest way to follow her is just go to her social media. It's Jenna Jarvis Jarvis that you'll see right here in the show notes. And you can also go follow Vulnerability is Cool. They're on all the social platforms as well. So I hope you enjoy this interview, and here we go. Jenna Jarvis, welcome to Millennial in the Middle. Thanks so much for coming on.
Yes, of course. I'm so excited.
You know, I've watched you for a long time on social media and what you're doing, and I've just been so impressed by, I think, the movement that's taking place and this kind of ideology that I feel like you've put a name to it, and people are now kind of catching on and getting excited about it. So I can't wait to jump into this a little bit more. And so your movement, we call it Vulnerability is Cool. Is that right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What does that mean?
Vulnerability is cool. Just like normalizing vulnerability. That's what I always tell people.
Sure.
That's the main focus, obviously. And just like making it normal and cool to show your emotions and show that you're like a real human,
yeah.
You know?
So tell me, like, vulnerability is something that a lot of times is seen as a weakness, right? Like, even the definition of the word vulnerable means, like, you're open for attack.
Totally.
You can be,
yes,
hurt. So, like, you're trying to flip that on its head and a new paradigm shift that, like, no, it's not the worst thing in the world. Why, to you, is being vulnerable not a weakness?
I would say, personally, in my life, it's, like, the only way I've been able to progress in my life. For example, like in relationships or like in the work field or even like on my mission, like different things. Like,
yeah.
I feel like vulnerability is such a strength and it's so powerful, especially when you put yourself in that spot. You're open to learn. And
sure.
I feel like that's one of the biggest like components in learning.
Yeah. Is being in a place where you feel like you can learn, you're open. How has that, as you've met a lot of different people, you probably see people that are on all sorts of the scale of like their openness and their vulnerability. How has it been to see people go from like being really closed to all of a sudden being open and vulnerable? What's it like to watch that happen in a person?
I think it's really cool and it's really exciting to like see the progression that they have in such a good way when they thought that it wouldn't be good. Like, even for me, you know, like, I remember people would talk about going to therapy and, like, how it's so hard because you bring all your trauma to the surface. And, but, like, my trauma was coming up every single day and everything that I was doing.
Sure.
And through therapy, it's just brought up in a healthy way, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's, I feel like it's so exciting because you're able to, like, relearn these things that you've done your entire life and, like, these habits and learn them in a healthy way.
Yeah.
You know, and like you can always learn from others. And I feel like the only way you're able to do that is through being vulnerable.
Yeah.
I have a friend, Jackson Averett. I don't know if you know him, but
no, I don't.
He is awesome. He is like, he always says like he doesn't know anything, you know, like he's so willing to like learn about anything and is just always trying to improve. And
yeah.
I think it makes him like the most incredible person because he is always trying to learn something from anyone, you know?
Yeah. And I think that's really interesting because we're so focused, especially in today's world, on how things appear and the perception and trying to be perfect and making sure other people think that we're perfect, right?
Totally.
And so, like, how do you see when those walls come down of not stressing what everyone thinks of you or being willing to say, I don't know, or I have shortcomings, or I'm not perfect? Like, how does someone get to that point in a way that they can all of a sudden, like, actually internalize it?
I feel like it's just trying. It's just putting yourself out there, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like you could talk about being vulnerable all you want, but until you really are, like, you're not going to be able to see that progression at all. You know what I mean?
Sure. And I love what you just said right there, putting yourself out there, because that's what you've done, right? And that's why I have so much respect for what you've done, because you're openly talking about it and putting yourself in a spotlight that maybe isn't all that glamorous and willing to do it. And so tell me a little bit about your story. Like, what led you to this point where you even decided, like, this is something I want to talk about, something that means a lot to me?
Okay, so I'm just going to start from, like, the very beginning.
Go for it. Start from the beginning. Yeah, Jenna's a baby.
Yeah, Jenna's a baby. So, this is, like, my first memory, which is kind of sad. But, so when I was 4 years old, I was sexually abused by my babysitter's son.
Oh, wow.
And, which is, like, honestly, that happening, I probably wouldn't have even said anything and known that anything was wrong, but after it happened, he told me that he was going to kill me if I told anyone. And so then, obviously, like, my 4-year-old brain is like, wait, something's wrong, you know?
Yeah.
So then, like, 2 weeks later or something, I told my parents about it. We, like, went to the police station, like, all the stuff, whatever.
Yeah.
And, yeah, so that's, like, something that's haunted me throughout my whole life. Like, because he told me that, like, I remember being a kid and looking out the window and thinking, like, someone is going to kill me. Like, he's out there, he's looking for me, but he was, like, 12 years old. He's not coming to kill me, you know?
Sure.
But it was just ingrained in my brain. And, like, even still, sometimes I'll be walking into the grocery store at, like, 3 p.m. and I'm like, there's someone behind me, you know?
Really?
Yeah. It's wild. But it's just because I was so young. It's just, like, ingrained in me. But
yeah.
So that happened when I was, like, 4, and that caused me to, like, I really just felt like men like only valued me for my body. Like, I always felt that way, you know? Like, I felt like that was my only the only thing I had to offer. And so then I dated, like, probably not the best boys, you know, but
yeah.
High school boys are never the best. So and I didn't really get along with my family. There was a lot going on that I didn't agree with. And so when I was like 14 or 15, I ended up moving out and I lived with like a couple different families. And then I always just felt like an outcast, and none of my friends knew like how I grew up or like the circumstances of like everything that happened. And I was just pretty private about it because I just wanted to be cool and I didn't want to like come off as this girl that is like kind of like a foster kid, you know? And so I lived with these other families and it was awesome. And then I went to Utah State. It was awesome. And I decided to go on a mission, went to Argentina. And then I came home and I did summer sales. And I remember one night I was just so like, typical when you get home from your mission, you just feel like you need to get married, you know,
yeah.
The stress. And I was just so frustrated that I wasn't married. And the guy I dated all of high school, he like got married and I was just like, why is he progressing and I'm not? And so I just remember like thinking like, I'm ready to progress. And then this boy messaged me on Instagram and we started talking, and I don't know if I already said I was doing summer sales, but I came home from summer sales to date him.
Wow. And from an Instagram message, we're quitting well, now at summer sales. All right.
We knew each other in high school, okay?
Okay.
And so then, but still so stupid. So then come home, we start dating, get engaged after like 6 months. You know, it was like nothing. And just was not a good relationship. And we ended up... like just a lot of lying and just, you know, just not great stuff. And so we ended up breaking off our engagement, and it was like the hardest time of my life. I think a lot of my childhood trauma, even like moving out, was pretty traumatic, because no matter what, like, family I'm staying with, or I'm not their kid, you know, I'm not, it's never going to be that connection like it would be with your own biological kid, I feel like, you know what I mean? But yeah, I just had so much trauma, even like the sexual abuse I'd never worked through. And when we broke off our engagement, we got a house together, and I was living there by myself until we got married. So I was living alone. I was working a 9-to-5 job. It was winter. And like, it was just, I just was in such a bad spot. I lost a ton of weight, and I was having panic attacks every day. Like, not every day, but I was having multiple panic attacks a week. And it was just, I don't know. I'd heard about panic attacks or depression or all those things, and I was always like, oh, people are just dramatic, you know?
Yeah.
But then I experienced that, and it was insane. So then I ended up moving to Arizona. I was still, like, so skinny, didn't want to eat, like, did not honestly want to live. Like, it was just a bad spot to be in. Moved to Arizona. I was there for, like, a year. I got, like, taken advantage of by these doctors. They gave me, like, stem cell treatments to fix my brain, charged me, like, $14,000 and, like, $40,000 to my insurance. Like, it was wild. Wow. Yeah. And so then if anything, that just caused me more stress in my life, because I had to pay for that. But then I came home from Arizona, and I went to therapy. So I just finished 3 years of therapy. I'll probably go back, like, every now and then. But, and I think I just wanted, it was so sad for me, because like, I always thought I was so alone. And I actually went to an event that my friend Sarah threw, and there was a girl that spoke that I'd always looked up to in high school. Her name's Remy. And I always thought she was so cool. Like, from my point of view, like, super rich family, like, super stable family, like, just had everything she wanted, had this awesome boyfriend, and, you know, and she spoke at this event, and she talked about how, like, she struggles with, like, her kid has, like, these, like, some type of disorder, and, like, it's caused her to, like, have different, like, mental illness, like, issues and different things. And I was just, like, shocked. I couldn't believe that, like, she had experienced something like that, you know? And because from my point of view, she just looked like she was perfect. So that just sparked something in me. I was like, I have to do something like this. Like, I want to host events that people can, like, relate to, and that kind of show, like, the real side of social media, and that inspire people and help people to know that they're not alone, especially because for, like, the majority of my life, I thought I was, like, the only one that experienced these things, especially, like, sexual abuse. Like, I just, but really, like, one in, like, five women or something have been raped or, like, attempted, like, someone's attempted to rape them, which I had no idea. And so I think it was just really cool, and it really inspired me to, like, dedicate my life to this, you know?
Yeah, I love it. Before we jump into what you've done and kind of where things are at now, I want to unwrap a few things that you said in there. One, it's interesting to hear that story. You kind of say it from literally starting at 4 years old. And something that you said of the fact that it was your first memory, like, that's something that's really powerful. Like, I don't know if I could place a finger on what my first memory was, but what do you think it is for you that, like, of all the things you could remember from your childhood, 4 is actually a pretty young age. Like, what was it about that event just being so traumatic that you think it imprinted on that to you forever?
I think especially because he told me he would kill me. I think that really stuck in my brain. And I think because it was just like this reoccurring thought that someone was going to kill me, you know? And so just like also replaying what happened in my mind all the time. And then like I had to go to the police station and explain what happened. And I remember they had like this drawing of a girl, and I had a circle where he touched me, and I just circled the whole thing, you know? And like those memories are just like, honestly, some of the only things I can remember from my childhood, you know, which is wild.
Well, and I think it goes to show, though, like how powerful the brain is, that you, that's not just a one-time memory. The fact that you relived it over and over and over again, like it might have been one night, but that one night got replayed in your head for years and years and years. And, you know, I think it's a hard thing to talk about, especially like sexual abuse in society, and especially as a man, right? Like it becomes even trickier to bring up those subjects and to talk about those things. What would you say, like, as you've, like, where do you find the balance of being open and talking about those things in a way that sheds light so change can be made?
Yeah.
As opposed to like being afraid of it, but still being like appropriate at the same time. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, do you mean in like a therapy situation or like just in like general?
I think in life, in public.
I think just bringing it up. So for me, like I didn't bring it up for a long time. And even like my therapist told me to like only talk about it with her, and which I did for a really long time.
Sure.
But just like the fact that I didn't know that anyone else had really experienced that. I knew that like people had, like on the news you hear about like crazy things or whatever, but I had no idea like that's happened to some of my friends, you know?
Yeah.
And so I think me being able to speak up about it has helped a lot of girls. Like so many girls have reached out to me and been like, how did you work through this? Like this has been haunting me my entire life, you know? And just like you said, it was just like one instance when that happened, but like it's been, and then I had to like live through it even like more intensely in therapy, you know, I had to relive all of those memories and like go through that all again. And so then I feel like it was finally almost like out of my system and I can process it in a healthy way.
Yeah.
So
that makes a lot of sense. It's something that I think as we open up, as we talk more about things like that, and vulnerability is cool, right? Like the fact that all of us have something, right? We all have things in our past or skeletons or things that we're working on and trying to get through. And I think when there's an even playing field, when we all admit that we're not perfect and that we have a long way to go. And I love what you just said about people reaching out to you in your direct messages, because one of the things that you started doing is sharing your story on social media, right? And the interesting thing about social media is like, we see the comments, we see followers, we see things that are there, but most of the time, the most important conversations and the things that are the most meaningful are the things that then come to your DMs, right? Like come in a direct message of, because someone saw your TikTok video, they felt comfortable reaching out to you. What has that been like, having strangers reach out to you from a TikTok video and saying exactly what you said? Like, how did you figure this out? Help.
That's funny you say TikTok, because I feel like, are you on TikTok
a lot? I have a TikTok. I'm not a big TikToker, okay. But I know the game.
But you just get so many, like, so much like unsolicited advice on TikTok.
Yeah.
Like so many people are like so vulnerable on there too, and just like comment like, these girls like, me, well, my boyfriend's abusive and da-da-da. I'm just like, oh my goodness. I'm like, you know, everybody can see this, right? But I'm like, it's okay, you know?
Yeah.
But I think it's been really cool. Like really, really cool. Especially so many people just messaged me like, Jenna, tell me about your therapist. Like, or the other, like yesterday, this girl messaged me and she was like, Jenna, I just booked my first therapy appointment. Like, thank you so much for helping me, you know? And I'm just like, oh my gosh, like, I can't believe I've been like a part of her progression. It's so exciting, you know?
Sure.
And I just feel so grateful that I've like opened my mouth and that I've talked about these things. And people probably think I'm a little too vulnerable, but like I could care less, because I needed someone that was that way, you know? So.
And if it leads to people talking to you and it can make changes there, then it makes a lot of that worth it.
Totally.
And hopefully it's healing for you along the way. So let's talk about those events. Like, how did this whole idea come about of, you know, we kind of start sharing it on social media or talking about this idea, and then you're like, let's bring people together and actually experience this. Tell me how that happened.
So it actually started, so I went to that event where that girl spoke, and I was so inspired. And so I started throwing kind of similar events to what I'm throwing now with another girl, but I just kind of felt like I needed to do my own thing. So then I started doing my own thing, and I don't know. I honestly, It's crazy, like, with this last event, everything just falls into place. Like, I was, like, there's so many things I was, like, worried about, but I was, like, I know that every other event has worked out, and I know this event is going to work out perfectly, and, like, I just had so much confidence in it, you know? Mm-hmm. And so, I truly feel like this is, like, my calling. Like, this is what I was made to do, you know? Even though I'm not the most organized person, I'm not a businesswoman, really. Like, I'm just me, you know, but like it's just worked out, and I feel like I have so many great resources and friends and things to help me. But yeah, the events are like, so we did those other events and we did it under like the name We Are a Wonder. Mm-hmm. But then since I decided to go on my own, I decided to find like a different name, obviously. And then Vulnerability Is Cool just like popped in my head one day, and I was just like, that's it. And then, and I was really, really nervous to throw my first event, but I, like, everyone I reached out to said yes, like, was willing to help, was willing to work with me. Like, it was just, like, crazy, and I just knew this is what I was supposed to be doing.
So what do you do at these events? Are they speakers, or what do you do? I know we've taken some yoga classes together. I know you're a yogi. Yes. There's got to be a little bit of that.
Yes, totally. So now there's two types of events. So the first events, well, I'm hoping to, like, combine them a little bit. So my first two events, I did them with like, I had influencers come and speak, and, like, so I had, like, the first one, sorry, a little scatterbrained, but the first one was focused on body image, more body image. That wasn't even the theme, but all the girls ended up talking about that. And then the second one that I threw, it was a lot about, like, emotional abuse and, like, loss and, like, a little bit of, like, grieving, like, hard relationships, like, we had Britt Lamore and Macy Neely come on, and it was awesome. And then the first one we had Courtney Hill, Jessica Janae.
Courtney Hill's been on this podcast.
Oh, she has? Yeah, a while ago. That's so fun. Yep. She's the best. Yeah, I love her.
She's great.
And then Ellie Duke as well. Did I already say that?
Yeah.
She was on there, but on there. She was at the event. And so we would, I'm just going to walk through the first event. So everybody comes in and you have a seat and we do this activity. It's my favorite activity. And it's called I Will Stand For You. Okay. And I pass out this big checklist of different things. It says like, I've been sexually abused, or I have had suicidal thoughts, or I've never felt more lonely in my life than I do right now. Just a big checklist of all these different things. And you don't write your name on it, and you check what everyone applies to you.
Wow.
And then you fold up the paper, and then you pass all the papers in. We mix them up and we pass them back out. And then I read at the front the questions, and I could personally, like, all of the things on the paper, like, I've experienced, which is, like, really awesome. I mean, being there and just, like, realizing so many people have too. But anyways, I read off each question, and whoever's paper you got, you stand for them. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So I'd read, like, I have been sexually abused, and if your paper is checked, then you stand for them.
Oh,
and
wow.
So it is, like, it's so cool. It's, like, my favorite thing. Like, every time I just start crying, because it's just, it, like, shows how connected we really are. Like, like almost more than half the people stood up last time when I said, like, I struggle with debilitating anxiety, or, like, different things like that, which you wouldn't think. Like, you look at all these girls and they're so cute and they're so pretty and, like, they just seem like they have their life together, but, like, they struggle with so many similar things, you know?
Yeah. I love that image of standing for someone else.
Yeah.
And not feeling like it was you that necessarily even had to admit that, but that you were doing it for someone else. And so tell me, like, I imagine after that, you've created quite the bond immediately.
Totally.
that lasts. Like,
I know. I kind of love throwing that out there, like, immediately, you know?
For sure.
And so then we did that. And then I'm trying to remember. I think this last event, then we, like, I have people, like, write in their journals, write down an intention. And then I'm, like, spacing right now. What else do we do? I should have brought a schedule. And then the one with Courtney, I'm pretty sure we just had, like, each of them speak at different times. And then we have, like, someone come sing, like, a musical number in between. And then at the end, we would end with, like a little break for food. And then we'd do, like, a sound bath meditation and yoga. And then, so that one, we had, like, just speakers come and talk to people, and, like, you just kind of learn from their experiences. But this last event I did, we had therapists come. So the event was all about the attendees, which I loved.
Yeah.
Like, the event wasn't focused on an influencer or anything like that. It was just focused on you. And it was, like, more of a workshop. So we, did different types of things. We did this I Will Stand For You activity. I try to do that every time because I just love it. And then we broke up into circles and we kind of like, we like wrote down things that, like something you're struggling with. And then we like mixed up the papers and then everyone just broke into circles and they talked to you as if they were like your higher self or your loving parent and responded to like that thing you were struggling with, if that makes sense.
For sure.
And so just like different workshop activities like that, and then had people write in their journals. And then we had like, this mirror activity where you have to look in the mirror and like see your flaws, but like rewrite them in a positive way. And so just things like that. And then with that one, we made like a bouquet of flowers. Everyone got to make their own bouquet. And then we did a sound bath meditation to end it. And then,
leaving that event, what's the feeling? What are people, what's going through people's mind? How are you different after something like that?
So for me, honestly, I feel like I just went through a breakup because I put all this effort and energy into this event and I'm just dedicated in the last like months of my life. And I'm so just like sad, actually. I even get sad before it even starts. I always say I'm already sad it's over when it hasn't even started. But
we may need to talk about that in therapy too. We got to enjoy the moment, Jenna. Come on.
I know. So, but I feel like people that leave the event, like I just had a lot of girls message me just like, I feel so seen. I feel so heard. And like, I'm going to go to therapy and I want to make these changes. And we kind of talked about this a little bit before the podcast, but I want to have something like maybe a course for after the event that people can take home, or like a challenge that we can do with all the attendees at the event. Like, I don't know. I've been working on things because there hasn't been much. Like, I mean, there's a ton of takeaways from the event and you get a journal and like just different prompts and stuff, but I want there to be even bigger takeaways, you know, so that people can make like real, real changes in their lives and not just have like a, oh, that was a good experience, you know?
Let's talk about therapy for a second. I think we're getting rid of the stigma around going to therapy like it used to be. And I think this is an evolution of, you know, I always talk about generations here and how generations think differently. And I think older generations looked at people that went to therapy, it's because they had issues, they needed to work on stuff, they were, you know, were mentally ill. Like, we'd put these things there, these labels. Where now I think that's becoming so much more commonplace and people are talking about it. I actually don't know if I've ever done it on this show, but like I go to therapy, not weekly, but I think that everyone should have at least a therapist that they know they can call if they need, that knows them.
Totally.
And we all have those highs and lows and peaks and valleys in our life. And having someone there to be able to talk through that and help you think through it and come to those solutions yourself is something that I feel is a shift in how our society views that. How do you think our attitudes and perspectives have changed around therapy itself?
It's so interesting because I remember even being little and like my parents tried to take me to therapy one time and I was so embarrassed, you know, so embarrassed. And even I remember like when a couple years ago I was with my boss and we were at her house and I was talking to her about therapy and she's like, my family can hear you. You know, she was like, my family can hear you. And I was like, she's like, you're just going to talk about therapy. And I was just like, oh, like, you know, like, I was like, I'm not embarrassed that I go to therapy, you know, like, I don't know. It's so interesting. And I, there's totally been a shift, you know, and I want to make that shift even bigger. Every single day I write in my journal, vulnerability is cool, it's changing the world. Because I'm just like, more people need to know, like, this is how you progress. Like, you can't have these hard things happen to you as a kid and just like push them down. Like, they're going to come up, you know? Like, I've seen a quote that says, like, if you don't deal with like trauma on your own, it's going to come up in your relationships, which I've totally witnessed, you know? And luckily, I feel like it's so much more normal. Like, I've heard so many more guys, like not a ton, obviously, but
I want to talk about this. I'm glad you went there.
I've heard like way more guys say they go to therapy. I mean, I say way more, but not way more, but a couple more guys than I used to hear. Like,
one
that
of you just had one.
Totally.
What do you think it is? I mean, obviously your events up to this point have been focused on women, right? Do you have plans to reach out to men? And how do you think they might be different in this?
So, So my next event is going to be men and women.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it's going to be in November. And like sometimes people are like, oh, can guys come? But I don't know. The people that have said they'd come to these events are like my best friends, like best guy friends, where I'm like, I don't know. I just feel like my target audience is women, and I would love for men to come,
yeah.
but I'm just not putting as much of like an emphasis on it.
Yeah.
Like hopefully in the future I can more as like vulnerability school gets bigger, and then maybe it will be cooler to go to like this stuff, you know, but, this next event is going to be awesome. I've been speaking with Henry Amar. Do you know him?
No, I don't.
I hope I didn't butcher his name. But he is hopefully going to speak at this next event. He's like a public speaker. He's incredible.
Cool.
And then, so the event is going to be called Make Your Mind Great Again, like okay. Make America Great Again.
Okay.
So I'm super excited. I'm like so hyped about this next event. Yeah. But I'm hoping that I can get a lot of guys there. So if you're listening, you better come.
Okay.
But yeah,
cool. So obviously people can find this and hear about it. How can people support this beyond just going to events? Are you looking for donors? Are you like, how can we get this message out there further?
Yes, 100%. I'm looking for donors. 150%. I'm looking for donors because up until now I've just funded it on my own. Uh-huh. But like with the things that I want to do, like even I'm working on like a therapy book right now, and like also like a journal similar to like the 5-minute journal, but kind of like with vulnerability is cool mm-hmm. touch with it. Different things like that. And like I've literally put all of my savings, everything into this, mm-hmm. you know? And so now I'm trying to work up like a plan and like a proposal to like get more donors and things like that. Because if I want to do big things, I don't think I can do it on my own, you know?
Yeah. I think that's so cool. One thing I've talked about quite a bit on this show is like with millennials and Gen Z, there's this new thing. They talk about the passion economy, right? How there's this new passion economy that people aren't necessarily wanting to work a 9-to-5 job for a big corporation. And because of technology, because of the internet, because of the reach that you can have with a TikTok, for example, like all of a sudden you can take this idea and make it your life's work and actually still try to monetize on that and make money. And I think it's something that former generations just weren't really ever able to experience. And so like, how do you look at, I mean, I'm curious kind of to pull off like now what you've done with your passion here, the thought of like going and having a job, like how motivated are you to go make this happen? So it's your thing.
Like, to like never have to work like a 9-to-5 again, I mean, is that what you're saying?
Not never have to do it, but like why do you want to make this your thing?
Well, I just think like you've always heard people say like if you don't love your job then change it, or like, you know, and mm-hmm. like I've done social media marketing for years and I love it and I'm like good at what I do, but like this is something that I absolutely love and like yeah. this is what I want to do for the rest of my life. And I don't know. It's just so different because I'm so passionate about it. I love social media marketing. Don't get me wrong, but I'm not like over the top passionate about it. Like I am yeah. this movement. You know what I mean?
Sure. I think that's so cool. And our society, I hope, is figuring out how to take people like you that have an experience that's led them to a place where they're speaking from a position of some authority and from experience and credibility and helping them get that message further out there. And I think good content is such a way to do that. Like you've had some TikToks and you know, Instagram reels and things like that that have really resonated with people. Tell me, as it relates to social media, like obviously when we think of social media, it's all about, oh, this is fake. This is the land of perfection. This is, oh, we don't share our faults. Do you think there's a shift happening in like us looking at social now and being like, it doesn't have to be the highlight reel?
I totally feel like there's been a shift, but I also follow people that are probably sure. more along with that shift.
Yeah.
Like even like the biggest influencers, like a lot of them don't really like use like filters anymore as much, you yeah. know, on their stories. Like it's all just like really raw, or like it's like the brightness is down a ton, mm-hmm. you know, but that's it. And which I think is really cool. But still, I think that there's like a gap where like I'll post something on social media and I was like sobbing that morning, but like my Instagram looks amazing, you know, mm-hmm. like I look like I'm having the best day of my life, you know?
Sure.
And so it's a hard balance because like, do I want to post a crying picture of me every time I'm crying? No,
yeah.
like, no, sure. I don't want to do that. But do I post about when something happens in my life every time?
Mm-hmm.
Not every time, but a lot of the time I do, you yeah. know, which it's so hard to find that balance, you know, because I don't want to be like this dramatic person on social media. But when I do share that stuff, like the last 2 days I've been sharing like my journey with therapy, and so like that's the most engagement I've had on my Instagram probably ever, you know? And like so many people have resonated with it. So many guys too messaged me and were just like, thank you so much for sharing this. And I'm just like, holy, like what? Where'd you come from, you know?
For sure.
So, or like I'd never think that they would resonate with something like that, you know?
Isn't it interesting that when you see sometimes, like, I'll get messages from people after a podcast and I'm like, one, you're listening to the podcast? Shocks me, totally. Right? And two, that's the part that resonated with you? That's what clicked? And I think it's such a good reminder, like, we all walk around in these packages, right, of who, how we present ourselves to the world, and then how everyone else perceives us is up to them, right? And all of a sudden, when you just get a couple layers under the surface and, you know, getting those messages to find that, you know, hey, what if we were to do that in the world of that, like, stand by or stand for you exercise that you did there? It, like, all of a sudden it becomes way less about us, way less about us as an individual and us as a whole instead. And it feels like that's the energy that's emanating from your events and this movement. And it's exciting to watch.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
It's so fun.
How can people find you if they want to support you or learn about this event you have coming up in November or donate? I know I have some donation people here listening.
Please.
How would they do it?
So Instagram is like my biggest way of like finding me right now. I want to build up the website more. I do have a website, but it's just not the most beautiful thing in the whole world.
Cool.
So definitely Instagram. Just vulnerability is cool. And then also my personal Instagram, Jenna Jarvis Jarvis.
Okay. So they can find you there, send you a message, reach out. And I know you're kind of looking to expand and scale and do more of these events and also find ways to do these events that maybe aren't even in person that can be so we can reach people all throughout the world. And how awesome is technology? The fact that a meeting like this could be shared with people all over.
Totally.
To have those types of experiences. And, you know, maybe before your circle of influence would have been just like right here in Utah. But potentially this is a message now that's reaching people all throughout the world.
Yes, that's the goal.
Yeah. Have you seen that? Have you seen people outside
of your circle? Yeah, I've had like probably like five people message me from like super far out of state. Like, oh my gosh, you need to do an event here. Or like, you need to do a virtual event. And I'm just like, oh yeah. You know? I'm like, I can't even think about that right now. But yeah. So.
Awesome. Well, I love it. Anything else you want to add in closing here?
I would just say, like, with healing and with therapy, like, I'm so grateful I took the steps when I did. I've heard a lot of people say, like, I don't want to bring my trauma to the surface right now, like I kind of mentioned before. But your trauma is coming up in every single thing that you do, every single day. Every time you get slightly irritated with something you shouldn't be irritated with, or like raise your voice, or even just like negative thoughts, you know, that all stems probably from like some trauma that's being held back. And I just think like there's no better day than to start than today, you know, like why not start healing now? So that like, for example, I could like barely hold a job before. Like I was very disorganized. I had like a really hard time staying focused. I just like truly didn't care about myself. And now that I have worked through so much, like I'm very productive, probably work too much. Yeah. I do work too much. And I feel like I have great relationships now. I really respect myself. And I'm so grateful that like I didn't end up getting married when I got engaged and that I was able to work through those things on my own. And so even if like you are married or no matter what stage in life you're in, like, I don't know why you would hold yourself back from progressing, you know, like you have to realize you are the only person holding you back. And I think that was such a big, like mind-blowing thing for me, because I think I'd played the victim a lot before, like we all tend to do, you know, and it was just holding me back. So it's probably the number one thing.
I love saying that the time is now, right? It's so easy to, I'll bury that, I'll think about that later, or we address it when like we have no other choice.
Totally.
Because time's like, we need to fix this problem right now. And so like what I'm hearing from you is err on the side of being proactive. Take your mental health seriously, and strong individuals can have strong relationships.
Totally.
And groups of strong individuals create strong communities and strong bodies of people that are working together with some shared values. And so I absolutely love that. And for anyone listening, like, don't be afraid to talk about the fact that you're going to therapy. And if you feel like you should, then go do it. You know, like there's plenty around. And I think that, you know, just addressing some of those some of those problems that we like to push under the surface can do the world and all of us a lot of good.
Totally.
Vulnerability is cool.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, hey, I appreciate you coming on and sharing this. I hope this movement just continues to snowball. I hope it continues to grow and grow. And I think it will. I think that authenticity and realness resonates with people. And you have proven that. And I think you'll continue to do that. So
thank you.
Great work. Congratulations on everything you've done so far. I'm excited to watch. Go give her a follow. And Jenna, I didn't tell you this, but I end every episode with a song. So not a full song. Oh my, man. If you're really listening to this right now and not watching on the video, the look I just got from Jenna right there, she's like, what the? Hey, don't worry. Clowns to the left me, jokers to the right. Here I am, stuck in the middle with you. It wasn't that bad.
It wasn't that bad. It wasn't all that right, bad.
We'll see you next time. Thanks, everybody. Clowns to the left me, jokers.